All across Western and Southern Europe, citizen-led energy cooperatives are thriving, innovative, community-powered, and diverse. But here in the Baltics, the cooperative energy sector is still struggling to find its footing. Why is this vital shift happening everywhere but here? Today, we're tackling the roadblocks and uncovering the hidden opportunities for community energy in the Baltic context. I'm Ingrid Nielsen, an energy expert from the Estonian Fund for Nature. And joining me are Domantas Stracevičius from Dziedinė Ekonomika Lithuania and Krista Petersone from Green Liberty Latvia. Let's spark this conversation.
Hello to both of you.
Hi.
Domantas, you've been with the community energy for how many years now? And what has been your and your organization's role in advancing community energy in Lithuania?
We started working on community energy about 4 years ago, since 2021. And over that time, the situation has changed significantly. From a legal point, that was very unfavorable to now a better, much, much better situation, but still lots of barriers, I would say. We tried to help communities to start energy communities. That we have released, I would say, two editions of how to start energy community. We are finalizing one where it would be a separate case where there's a self-consumption in multi-apartment house, basically an energy community, but you don't need to start one. The EU legislation and EU directives allow that not to have any legal body, but to share the produced electricity without any restrictions. So this is something that I think could be very popular.
So a lot of the work in Lithuania, as I understand, has been in advocacy. How has it been in Latvia, Krista?
Thanks for the question. Well, I think that this concept has been familiar to us for many years. And partly it's because we have been part of the Vanquish Network, who focuses on climate and energy policies. And then this concept of energy communities is maybe something like one of the cornerstones of democratization of energy systems. So my colleagues and I have somehow been involved in the development of this discourse on the national level and also EU level for many years, at least, I mean, 10, maybe, or 7. But as you know very well, the progress is always too slow. And then the feeling is that we still have not come to this practical realization of this kind of enlightening idea.
That's absolutely true. In Estonia, the situation is quite similar. We have been working in the Estonian Fund for Nature with community energy, maybe less than both of your organizations. We can track it down to for about three, four years. But I believe that in Baltic states, it has been a slow progress, and maybe we're starting to see the first steps happening only now. And it's I believe you agree with me when I say that mostly it's about convincing all the different levels that are engaged or could be engaged into, as you said, democratization of energy sharing, which is a very foreign concept to the Baltic states in general. We've been talking about amongst each other for years, and the idea of this podcast is definitely to maybe show what is similarities in the Baltic states and what kind of barriers are we still facing. So let's get cracking. Domantas, you said that that in Lithuania you are, as Dziedinė Ekonomika has already produced two reports on, or sort of like What would you call it? Like instructions for people to use to start community energy projects. But do tell, what kind of information did you like? What kind of models or what do you suggest in those materials mostly?
Yeah, those are how to say, guides how to, and they include basically steps that you need to follow to fully go through the procedure. So it has about 10 steps. Some of them are quite difficult. Some are really only administrational and easy. Of course, I would say the most difficult part is to find a group of people that are willing to start a community, sorry, a energy community, then of course find a location with the grid connection. It is another very, very difficult thing to do, especially now that energy democratization is really expanding. And something that you also have to take in mind that the alternatives are also there. So alternative to being in an energy community is being yourself a prosumer, or we have also Lithuania another option, remote prosumer. So to become a remote prosumer, it's I would say 5 minutes of your time. You just pay for a part of a solar park and bam, you're a remote prosumer, and that's it. You can have self-consumption. So
What does
to be a prosumer.
what is a remote prosumer? So how does it actually work?
So you buy a piece of solar park somewhere, and you're automatically are considered. So the thing is that the disadvantage compared to being a prosumer on a rooftop is that there's no accounting for direct consumption. So, because if you're a prosumer and you're at the same time charging an EV, using dishwasher or something like that, you're connected. You're experiencing. You're using the electricity directly. Then, if you're a remote prosumer, the all for all electricity you have to pay sort of a DSO battery fee because they store it and so this is the difference. It's kind of a make it makes it less attractive than being direct prosumer, but at the same time is at an equal footing at an equal conditions with energy community scheme.
What would it
So then you
mean
look.
in terms? What would it mean in terms of like if I am a person who doesn't have an opportunity to put my own panels somewhere or engage in that kind of production part? So what would it mean financially to become like a remote prosumer? How much would I have to buy in Lithuania in order to be considered a remote prosumer?
Well, the smallest part also is enough. They're being sold by, I don't know, 0.1 kilowatt. So yeah, 1 kilowatt costs about 950 euro, but you also get 323 euros back from the state up until 10 kilowatts. So we can calculate the net cost is less than 600, so it's an attractive cost.
It is an achievable for many.
Community, yeah, that's why in July almost 10,000 people came. That's a record. Previously it was 5,000. Now while solar Association of the Solar Energy says there's a reduction in rooftop solar, not in Lithuania. New solar rooftop installation. So we have a very attractive alternatives. So that's why energy communities are not being the first choice. But if you follow the steps in the guideline, it is possible to start. But you have some major hurdles. You have to find people, you have to find connection, you have to start legal entity. And once you have done all of those, it's much easier. But to put in the perspective, the financing call has ended and we don't know when it's going to be. While if you are a natural person, individual, you get funding for your rooftop solar or remote prosumer team year round.
It seems a lot like in Estonia in that sense as well, that we have several schemes that support people putting up their own panels, but none, if we talk about, nationally divided funds, none in terms of like how, making people collaborate in the energy sector. What's the situation in Latvia though, right now? Where does community energy stand in terms of, prosumers and the large producers and smaller producers, etc.?
Yeah, I really like that you somehow describe the situation in the context of the evolution of the whole electricity market, because that's very important. And I think in Latvia too, there are quite many alternatives. And of course, there is this individual prosumerism, and then it's maybe the most efficient financially if you can use the energy that you somehow produce or consume immediately or store in some storage devices. And then there are also quite good offers from the retailers, like when you can somehow purchase 100% green electricity. But one interesting thing about energy communities is that we have the first funding program in the making, and that will be financed from the Modernization Fund. So this autumn, the program should be opened, and it will offer about at least, I think, 9 million euros to new energy community projects, including electricity communities as well as renewable energy communities, which will be suited for heating solutions as well. So that's exciting and that's interesting. That will be a kind of a grants-based support scheme. And in addition to this, funding for energy communities has established legal entities, we will also have extra money for multi-apartment buildings, just for installation of different RES technologies, but without the formation of a new legal entity. So, yeah.
Well, in Estonia, we are talking about quite similar things happening, minus the funding part. I mean, we do have support systems for multi-apartment housing, which can then use the renovation funding also for installing solar panels, again, without formation of a community energy entity. But in general, we're still talking about community energy as a project for a few. We have been seeing in the last year or so some interest, which usually comes in the, in the form of local necessity being addressed by just a group of very different people, companies plus individuals, which then try and solve local energy needs. And they do predominantly, of course, work in solar pa work with solar panels. In terms of like what is the ecosystem around it, we have adopted in Estonia the different mandatory aspects coming in through different EU directives. Maybe the good part is that it's quite vague, but at the same time, it can also hinder because it doesn't give you exact rules. And there are some in conflicts of interest. We have heard that, some companies are talking about getting their energy production up and using the community energy scheme. So there's still a lot of like this loose, muddy waters around it. And with these first pilots being born, of course, we are noticing that we do have some significant hurdles still ahead, like energy sharing isn't really that clear on how it should be working, etc. So we'll go into these a little bit later as well. But one of the things that we do have in common is that we all of the three Baltic states have large Soviet times multi-apartment housings. Like in Estonia, there's nearly 30,000 of them, and only a fraction of them have been renovated, and even smaller fraction of those have their own solar panels installed. So, what's the situation, for instance, in Lithuania about that, and is there any talk about really tackling that issue, and how do they plan to do it with, or is there a plan of doing it also with community energy?
That is a very important topic that you raise. I've been looking, and we see about 60% of the population is living in multi-apartment houses. So really, a lot of people. There have been calls, funding calls made for multi-apartments to install solar panels for common use electricity, like the elevator, lighting. And some of the communities actually took it up. So we have about, I think, 40 or 50 multi-apartment houses that have those smallish installations, and they're helping to save money. But we have had funding which was of 3 million euros, and only, I would say, 1/6, if not less, was used. So we see an opportunity with the changes of legislation, which, as also Krista mentioned, and in Estonia, that you don't have to start a new entity to have an energy community in multi-apartment house. So this is one of our priorities now, to work on it. And we discussed with the Ministry of Environment, and they see a possibility to renew the call, so that it could be again, the multi-apartment house administrators would be able to apply and receive funding, which makes it on a par with self-consumption in an individual house or a remote prosumer scheme. So this is we see it really as a possibility. Another thing that kind of has been pushing solar panels on multi-apartments is the renovation scheme, that it's actually mandatory to put solar panels when you renovate. Unfortunately, there are loopholes where some just say there are no option, no technical possibility, and they do not put that. This is a loophole that needs to be solved, because but that energy usually never goes out of the house, because multi-apartment house has always consumption. There's imagine if it's 50 apartments and refrigerators are working, the energy is not leaving the house. So this is important to have in mind. And if the house is being renovated, the one of the things that mandatory should be have, it's panels for common use, as I mentioned, for the elevator if there is one, and for light, because it's being used every evening. So it really that there is a demand, and to have to make it simple in the guide for multi-apartment houses, we use example of one case in Tauragė city, where they, using funding, build a 30 kilowatt power panels on their multi-apartment house, but were in a conundrum. They didn't know how what was happening. The RED2 was not transposed at the time. They were considering few options, But finally, after discussions with the Ministry of Energy, they created the framework that if you are a natural person and you're all produce and consume in the same multi-apartment building, you can share it without any restrictions. No legal entity needed to be created. So they have paved the way. So using that example, we want to make it available for everyone. Simplified versions of decision making so that owners of the apartments would need to just meet once, decide, and everything else would be done. So that we are also discussing with the financing institutions that people would not need to bring their own money. They would get beneficial financing conditions so that it's included in their monthly bill and they're experiencing benefits right away.
Well, that's definitely a difference with Estonia because we don't have that part of RED II still fully transposed, and there's still like a lot of loose ends about energy sharing, and therefore we also don't see that multi-apartment houses are interested in installing more solar powers than their own common consumption, which hopefully with energy sharing becoming more simple, especially within the complex itself, then that would solve a lot of those issues. And yes, you are right that with community energy, we also need to have this aspect on how are decisions made in it. I mean, even if they don't, as a legal entity, they choose another type of being of operating, that big part of community energy, regardless of your legal entity, is about how do you make decisions and how laborious it is, etc. What's the situation, Krista, in Latvia, though, with multi-apartment houses? Because Latvia, I believe, has the biggest number of these big housing complexes in all of the three states, and they are in a very bad shape as well, I believe.
I think you are right, and of course the challenge of renovation is maybe larger than even the question of energy communities, but it's still connected. And in the best scenario, those two things would come together, and this community principle somehow works for both renovation project and then integration of smarter energy solutions. But energy sharing, in terms of electricity, is legally possible for multi-apartment buildings, so the regulation is there, but we would not advise to start it right away because there are many economic unknowns that would impact maybe also the costs and benefits that the participants would get. Because according to the present regulation, the participants are not exempt from the full grid costs, so they would still have to pay for all electricity that they receive the same price. And also there is no virtual or kind of a direct sharing possible. Electricity sharing in Latvia is analogous to net billing scheme, so it means that everything that somehow exported to the public grid must be converted into monetary amount and then accounted for at the energy retailer side. So then it's also just about exchanging kind of accounts or money rather than real electricity. So it's maybe it's not that feasible. It's nothing to jump into right away, but the good thing is that some other solutions may come gradually, and also our DSO is looking into the issue, so to say, and gradually developing new projects, and perhaps the situation will change. But at the moment, it is only for those houses where there is one connection to the distribution system, where installation of say larger solar systems would really pay off.
So we've covered, a little bit on prosumers and what their funding is like and what are the main, issues or even possibilities around multi-apartment housings in our three countries. What is happening though in the, in the energy democracy manifesto, so to say, the local governments should have quite a strong role. What kind of signs do you see in your countries regarding that? I mean, if I bring an example of Estonia, we see a lot of interest in it. Like the local government says, yeah, this sounds like something that could really solve our problems. But then we don't see many steps forward from that, mainly due to the fact that the local government does have a lot of liberty. It does have a liberty of also doing business or going into some sort of entrepreneurship scheme or investing, etc. But we don't see that happening in real life. There are very few local governments that have some sort of like a business, mainly having to do, of course, with real estate management, because they might have real estate that they rent out, or they might have actually, a local heating system that they run and operate in tandem with someone else. But we do have also local government, fully local government owned heating systems in Estonia. But we don't see this kind of like a community energy mindset of, including more partners into the scheme, providing some sort of a benefit that goes beyond earning money. So there's interest, but there's very little outlet. And the reports that we've heard so far, it's mainly due to the fact that local governments have very limited resources, and they're also very traditionally minded. So they don't like sort of jump on the bandwagon immediately, and it needs a lot of time. So what in terms of like local governments, do you see happening in both Lithuania and in Latvia? I'll go to Krista this time. Otherwise, we always do Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia.
Thanks. And I will, I hope to return to Estonia in case afterwards, because I think that Estonia has a very interesting concept of energy communities as small enterprises, or you have this kind of cooperative, I mean, spirit quite a lot. Whereas in Latvia, it has really been the municipal focus this far running the energy community movement. And also our major project is called Startson, founded by Interreg program, where we work together from partners from Zemgale planning region, and they are developing the first pilots for municipalities who then would somehow establish their own energy communities. So, and also from my experience working with different stakeholders, it is true that municipal energy managers are rather well informed, and they are interested in some kind of new projects and in cooperation. And energy companies, let's say municipal companies in general, they would be willing to find maybe more somehow some better ways of having contracts with each other and cooperating. But unfortunately, it looks that the official model of energy communities will not be that suitable for municipal participation, because municipalities, it's a huge organization. It has many entities, many departments, but in many cases, they have one procurement for electricity services with one electricity retailer, and then they would rather act as an active customer with many, somehow, many objects or many sub-entities. But energy communities as a new legal organization that must be somehow managed horizontally and so on, it may be too complex for municipalities in case if they do not want to cooperate with some other types of persons, let's say other enterprises or private citizens. But that's again, it becomes just too complex. But let's see how it goes. Yeah. So the interest is there, but the realization may take another road.
One of the ways that these kinds of like community energy schemes have been offered to local governments is that local governments generally have more like real estate or land where they could install this. It's a very lucrative way to participate, I believe, in for a local government, because they would be just essentially part of the energy scheme offering their space. That will be their sort of like investment into it. Yet we haven't seen any, you know, actual projects happening, which makes us think like, what is the thing that stops this very, very easy scheme from not being developed? Domantas, what's the situation in Lithuania, though, with local governments? What kind of approach do they have towards community energy?
Well, local governments have always enjoyed very, very generous financing to become prosumers, to build solar panels on their institutions. It finished a few years ago, but the government, a lot of used for RRF funding, for energy communities led by municipalities. And it's not just for institutions like libraries, hospitals, but also to receive that funding, municipalities have to include people in energy poverty. And we have a first energy community led by Šiauliai City Municipality, which will supply 16 or 17 institutions and 1,300 people that are in energy poverty. So this is a significant thing. They received the permission last month, and we hope to have this built probably early next year and start operations. So really, some other municipalities are interested, and we hope to have them more, because it also tackles, not only expands energy transition, but it helps to solve, at least in part, energy poverty. Regarding land allocation, yes, indeed, municipalities have a lot of buildings and land which we control. And by law in Lithuania, municipalities are obliged to dedicate some of their plots for people to start energy communities. Yes, it is. And this year in May, we did a survey. We sent emails to all 60 municipalities that are in Lithuania. We got replies from 50 plus, not all of them. Actually, some of the replies we received was last week. We requested in May. Most of them wrote, no, we have not, we don't have any land, stuff like that, which really is not entirely true. But one municipality actually said yes and shared a link where they announced on their website where the land is available and people can actually request the possibility to use it to start an energy community. So we have some good initiatives, but unfortunately, most of the municipalities are not taking this seriously.
It's a slow process, I guess, on a local government level to get things started. But I'm really glad to hear that there are and very varied different approaches, actually, from Baltic states that could, you know, if they become that first project, they will sort of, you know, catch on and maybe more. More of these initiatives we'll be seeing. One of the things that we have been, you know, looking into in Estonia is as well is how is energy actually defined in the local climate and energy plans? Do you see that these kinds of strategic documents could be something that leads the way in engaging at the regional or local level entities into community energy schemes or what's happening in that field? Domantas, Lithuania seems to be a great case. What's happening over there?
Yeah, so local governments have to create their renewable energy plans. Most of them did, but they are very general. I wouldn't say they are impactful. They're really, really very, very, very general. And in both plans, actually, some of the municipalities say, yes, we will provide the locations for energy community. And then we did our survey. We find out that actually they're not only not obeying the law, but also their own plans to do that. because those plans are made by consultants, and usually the city administration and the city councilors don't even read what's written in them. So it's a little bit, I would say, a sad situation that they're not taking it seriously, and they could be doing more, because we are in a transition that a lot of the government land is being transferred to the municipalities. So before that, the government controlled most of the land. Now the municipalities are receiving the possibilities, they are controlling it, and they can dedicate it to energy community projects. Because from our experience, and we consult quite some communities, one of the first question is where we can build it. And usually people have limited possibilities within the land. So this is one of the keys. And I would see some of the areas that could be priorities. It's landfills, it's areas that are not suitable for any other use. So this should be the priorities for local governments to share it with the communities in their areas.
Yeah, in Estonia, the land reform was done quite a long time ago. So unfortunately, the ship has sailed for us in that sense that we've seen local governments actually, sell their land and their buildings as well as much as possible because it's quite costly to be the owner and maintain them. So I'm hoping that in Lithuania it won't lead to that, that they will just simply sell their government lands to private owners and therefore limit their opportunities. In Latvia, though, what's the situation there? Are the local governments rich enough? Do they have it for
Yeah,
opportunities?
that's a difficult question. There is always need for more funding, and I'm really looking forward to, say, having a major change or transformation of public buildings, because I think it's so important to turn these centers of public life into contemporary objects with high standards for both interior but also their ecological footprint. So, but that's not always a question about energy communities, but it has this like huge need out there to speed up renovation and do it somehow wisely. But in terms of solar energy, I think we do not have an issue with land availability because there are many mega parks under development, and also system operators. Say that actually our market has reached the saturation of solar electricity, and that there is a lot of electricity, and it's important to increase the demand and consumption as well. And it also says that solar panels alone will not be a solution, especially if it involves distribution system that will provide some kind of economic benefit. So, and the biggest question for me too is how to make these projects somehow innovative and relevant for different players of the electricity market. Because in case if the energy community ideas go against retailers or especially the system operators, they would face resistance. And then it most likely will just not work. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's I think the same in most countries that you gotta find your way so that you don't step on anyone's toes, but you sort of come out with a scheme. And in Estonia, actually, what we've spoken to grid operators as well, and they actually look at it as a favorable solution. It's a small scale solution for sure. It won't solve the whole energy systems issues. But they see it as a local level, sort of like building the resilience of the community, building even the resilience of the grid. It could be a possibility. It's just a little bit too early, in sense that regulations are not in place and the roles of different players is not understandable. We also have, especially in the last couple of years, seen quite a lot of solar parks being built that are really large scale. And there are initial talks that maybe some sort of an energy community or community energy scheme could actually be used as a benefit for the local people. For instance, there have been talks that maybe, you know, the community could create community energy entity, legal entity, and then the whoever is the developer will give a share of the solar park as a, you know, local benefit measure to the community energy entity. But it's still in the early talking stage, and I believe that a lot of sort of like pushing also from the state level is required. This is something that we don't see much in Estonia yet. There's interest towards it, but there's always this, oh, if people want to do it, let them do it, but we won't help them along with it. There's still kind of that kind of an attitude coming from the ministerial level. And therefore, we see that it's also a little bit halted. What do you think, Krista, are the sort of like key things that would make community energy happen a little bit faster in the Baltic states, or at least in Latvia?
Yeah. Again, I think what we must achieve is the completion or finalization of the framework, because it has made most of us tired. Not tired, but somehow maybe less optimistic due to many years of discussions and waiting and feedback, and also some not regrets but disappointments with the outcome. But it's a long process, and I guess it's similar in all countries. So we are just very keen to get to the action, and also maybe just put aside some former ideas and get this hands-on experience. But for us, it's also interesting to expand this energy community model to wind energy. And here we look especially to your countries like Lithuania and Estonia, because as you may know, wind energy sector is the least advanced in Latvia currently. And then maybe that's something where this kind of still this unexplored maybe area of community investment could make more sense.
What would your suggestions or ideas be on that, Tomantas?
I still think it's about the legal framework it's really hindering. It's starting a new legal entity, it is difficult. Also, finding a connection. And this is something that we try to work on a lot, is creating a more transparent grid. Because there are possibilities to see available connections at a very high level, but not at a small level where you can actually then see which plots of land can be connected. This is also an issue. So if we could solve and make it even more easier starting an energy community legal entity, would be very beneficial. And this is, of course, work for Ministry of Energy to find solutions and to create, I would say, ready-made documents to starting one. This is something that they have already been doing. And another thing is transparent grids, so that not only energy communities, prosumers, anyone can look at the maps and know that in that location, they can start producing, doesn't matter their status, because there are some tools that allow you, as if you are connected prosumer, you can look if you can start putting solar panels. But for energy communities, it's a new entity. You're not a consumer yet, and that's why you cannot look anywhere. So these two things, I think, very important. And the grid transparency, especially because it affects everyone, because maybe someone else's nowhere is a grid capacity because he has connections to the DSO, but an average person is not. So this really, I mean, it's availability to know really fosters the investment.
I believe we all have, if we as advocates for community energy, I think we have very similar wishes for Father Christmas that we want more transparency in terms of what is available. And how can we better operate it in it also on smaller levels than just large scale companies? That we want this kind of regulation to be put in place in a way that it cannot be used ill, because that's what we've also seen happening in other schemes as well. Maybe the funding is available, but then the wrong people get it. Maybe the regulation sort of allows these kinds of loopholes to be explored by stakeholders who really shouldn't have anything to do with community energy. And I think I would like to add something else to it as well. I would like to see our countries to take a strong focus on it as a means of, local resilience, as a means for people to be engaged more in energy democracy, for making better decisions on local level and really providing for themselves. Seeing where we're situated, seeing what kind of troubles we have lots of snow in the winter and quite a serious geopolitical situation at times as well. I believe this would sort of bring more trust towards the state as well, if we would see this strong focus that we want to help our people manage better. And that's something that I would really like to see happening in the next couple of years. We're nearly at the end of our talk. We don't have much time left, so let's talk about what's happening for real. How many energy communities, or at least similar schemes, do you know that we have in each of the countries now? I'll start with Domantas. What's happening in Lithuania in that sense? How many communities do you have?
Yes, so we had a discussion and a public presentation regarding energy communities with the National Energy Agency, and we had representative of DSO. So we have two operating at the time of the presentation at the end of July. So we should have more now, and I expect more because we already also know that Šiauliai municipality, as I mentioned, is starting one. So I think by the end of the year we might have somewhere close to 10. This is the optimistic scenario, and I hope it will be fulfilled. And also I have to include the one with the Tauragė, which has the multi-apartment house that have solar buildings, but they're not how could I say, technically legal entity. They're not calculated in the statistics, but there are actually energy community.
Pista.
The first energy community was formally established in March this year, and the title of this energy community is the first energy community. So, yeah, I think it's kind of a nice play of words, and I'm very happy that they have done what they have done, because the idea is to just engage more multi-apartment buildings into this movement and find the best solutions that fit people living in the neighborhoods. And the leader of this community, Sergeis, he is also doing a lot of advocacy work. And I think that sometimes an organization is just a legal basis for becoming an active citizen. So even if it works on that level at first, it's good enough. So we are looking forward to meeting the next energy communities. But the first one, I think it has already achieved some goals without producing energy that much. Yeah.
Well, in Estonia, our first energy community energy entity already has a couple of years, but They've struggled with gaining momentum, and actually they've become more advocates for this than actually doing their own business part, and they're called energy cooperative. But starting from last autumn, we do have one that follows maybe more closely and really concentrates on the business side of it, or making it work, is energy cooperative called Own Electricity, which also I believe is a great a great name for it. We have a couple more that use similar schemes for community energy, but you know, it's still beginning, and we also believe that by the end of this year we'll have a couple more, because they are right now in the sort of like very focused development mode. They're working on their business plans, working out the details on how decision making is done, etc. And soon, hopefully, will be also established legally as well. So it looks like we've started to break the ice in the Baltics, and hopefully, this will not stop at this. That these great examples that are being born now will have success, we can present them to each other, to other countries, to other people in the Baltic states as examples on how do you do it, and it will spark some ideas. I thank you very much, Krista and the Mantas, for this brief chat. I know we could fill in a couple of hours talking about all the details in this field. Really glad to be talking to you, and hopefully in a couple of years we'll have an update where we can talk 4 or 5 hours about the initiatives that have been born and how, and we can look back on it and say it was worth the while. Thank you very much, and to our listeners, hope this was inspiring, and you've got some ideas on how things are going in the Baltics. Thanks.
That brings us to the end of our discussion with Domantas Stracevičius and Krista Petersone. It's clear that while the Baltics face unique regulatory and cultural hurdles compared to our European neighbors, the opportunities for community energy are undeniable. The path forward requires dedicated advocacy, smarter policies, and most importantly, citizens willing to take the first step. Thank you, Domantas from Dziedine Ekonomika Lithuania and Krista from Green Liberty Latvia, for helping us shine a light on this crucial topic. I'm Ingrid Nielsen from the Estonian Fund for Nature. Thank you for listening.